In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Now, a small boy had just come back from church, where he had received, absolutely no doubt, some marvelous teaching at the Sunday school. And he started quizzing his mother about where God was. God's up in heaven, isn't he? Yes, that's right, his mum says. And God's down here on earth as well. Yes, that's absolutely right. Well done. Well done, Lou and the team. They obviously got that point in well and true. So God's here in this house, isn't he? Yes, that's right. And that means that he's here in this kitchen, isn't it? Yes. And she doesn't quite know where this is going now, but she's going to go along with it. Yes, that's right. So God's here at this kitchen table. Yeah, I suppose so. And God's here in this sugar bowl. Yes, I suppose so. Got him. How much we would love to capture God, to make sense of him, to have something supremely tangible to hold on to. But God is other. God is beyond our experience and glimpsed only through God's revelation. And the Trinity, the most holy Trinity that we celebrate today, is part of that revelation to us, part of our struggle to understand and to comprehend the mystery that is God, whilst never truly being able to capture him. The Orthodox, like our friends in the parish of St. George, the South Indian Orthodox community in this area, would simply just shrug their shoulders and admit that it's a mystery, a matter of God, that we should just accept it. But oh, how much we would love to be able to capture God in our sugar bowls. There is a story of a bishop who visited a Sunday school. It's clearly not our bishop, because our bishop doesn't speak like this, but he went, "My children, I want you to explain to me, what is the Holy Trinity?" And of course, because our children had all had marvelous teaching, they all put their hands up and went, "Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Your Grace." "That's very good." And he wanted to draw them on a little bit, so he said, "But I'm afraid I don't really understand what you mean by that." At which point little Jimmy put his hand up and said, "You're not supposed to, Your Grace, it's a mystery." The doctrine of the Trinity, simply stated, there is one God, and this one God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The three persons of the Trinity are equally God, co-equal and co-eternal, we say. One is not more divine than the other. One is not subordinated to any other. But we've got to recognize that God is not simply a category with three members. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are a single substance. They have a single will, a single energy. They are not three gods, but only one God, as St. Gregory of Nyssa so eloquently put it. And each year, your priests try and create ever more elaborate, yet simple analogies to try and convey the truth of the Trinity. We've had St. Patrick and his three-leafed clover. We've had the three-in-one oil. We've had the Mars bar. That was a couple of years ago, if you remember. Nougat, chocolate, and caramel. And yet still mysteriously one chocolate. I thought that was quite a good one myself. But this year, my work of genius, or pure silliness, you can take your pick, this year is going to be myself. Now, I do realize that this is a dangerous precedent, to use myself as a model of the Trinity, but before you call the bishop to tell him that I'm having ideas above my station, just bear with me. You see, to my lovely children, I am Dad. That benign individual whose sole purpose in life is to embarrass them and to be an ending source of funding and bad advice. To my lovely wife, Lou, I am husband. The one who makes a mess in the house, leaves the kitchen cupboard doors open and the cold tap dripping. to my lovely parish, I am Father Simon, who represents, well, I'll leave you to reflect on what having me as your parish priest represents. I'm sure if you think about it for long enough, it won't be that bad. Three titles, three roles, three perspectives, and yet I am one person. The baptized Christian who is known and loved intimately by God as Simon. In the same way, the Trinity gives us different perspectives on the one true God. Different roles, different functions, different perspectives of the one God. A God so immense and diverse that we as humans just have to break down into the three persons of the Holy Trinity just to simply get our heads around it. This isn't just three different perspectives of one person, but three different natures of being. That I am in my very being, both father, husband, and priest. And it is as such, in those very deep natures of individual being, that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit exist. And that, my dear friends, is a really difficult concept for us to try and get our heads around. There is an ancient tale which features in a number of faiths of a large animal, an elephant or a rhino, which is approached by a group of blindfolded individuals. And Matthew will now play the video that will illustrate that.
It's a pillar. It's a wall. It's a rope.
Having only one point of view on anything?
It's a brush.
Can be misleading.
It's a pipe.
So before you come to a conclusion, make sure you get the full picture.
That story's been around for centuries. And I think it says so much that we're so much tied to in the wrong perspective on things. We're too close to things to see it. What Yard didn't tell you is actually that's an advert for a contraceptive pill. Do you notice I cut that bit out? But I think its interesting point is that you need to have a full perspective on everything. And I think it's very important that we in this church have try and get the full story before we fire off with any conclusions. Churches are full of people who make snap decisions based on misreadings and misunderstandings without stopping to think and to pray and to discern the will of God. And the one thing I hope that we in this community are is a thinking, praying, intelligent, questioning community that dwells deeply upon our scripture and our tradition and our faith and therefore comes to a sensible conclusion on all real matters of importance. The thing is, as we strive to find new and exciting ways to encapsulate the mystery of the Trinity, as your priests get increasingly more desperate to try and express this, the question that must be in the back of our minds is, do we still need the Trinity? Do we, in all our scientific and logical glory, need the Trinity to try and comprehend the other? The word Trinity, of course, never actually appears in Scripture. All of that language comes from the 4th century and the debates of the councils of Nicaea and Constantinople. But we need to ask ourselves, what does the Trinity represent? First of all, it brings the Godhead down to something closer to us, still yet intangible, but at least as a reflection of something that we know and understand. It brings us into the realm of a personal God, and a personal God with whom we can establish a relationship. Secondly, it also brings us into the point that because the Trinity exists not in isolation, but in relationship with each other, it also tells us that we too should live in relationship. That is why this community is so important. That is why our bonds of mutuality is as important as the bonds which link the Holy Trinity. If you recall that icon, that ancient classic icon of the Trinity by Rublev, where the three characters are sat around a table, they're represented in a story of Abraham as the angels come and visit Abraham. He invites them to sit with them. and each of them are linked together. They gaze across at each other, but they also have a presence at the fourth side of the table, the part of the table at which you are invited to sit. And so, we, as a reflection of the Trinity, are called to each other to become whole persons only in relationship with one another and with God. And thirdly, our traditional language of the Trinity speaks about us joining together in mutuality and in mutual support. Very horrible word, but a lovely word when you think about it, is called perichoresis when it refers to the Trinity. It means the dance of life and love. And our entire lives should be lived as part of that dance. Dance whenever you have the opportunity. That we are joined together in that mystical bond with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all the baptized become a part of that dance. Let us dance on forever. And so you may ask yourselves, do we still need the Trinity? Is it just one of our attempts to capture God in our own sugar bowls? Is it an attempt to bring God down to our level, or does it suggest a mystery beyond comprehension? Do we still need the Trinity, we might ask? Well, we might as well ask the questions, do we still need mutuality? Do we still need to be in a relationship? Do we still need to have our relationship with a personal God? Do we still need love? And I think you'll know the answer to that is, most clearly, oh yes. Amen. And now, my dear friends, we come on this most Trinitarian of days to reflect on our faith in the words of the Creed. Now, if we were still a traditional Book of Common Prayer parish, we would now be reciting the thing called the Athanasian Creed. It was written by St. Athanasius in about 450 AD, and it is really, really impenetrable. I do advise you to go back, dig out your Book of Common Prayer, and look up the Creed of St. Athanasius, and you'll thank God that we're not saying it together today. It's wonderfully beautiful, but very complex. But every Sunday we stand up and we recite this creed, the Nicene Creed, a creed that was formulated in 325 AD at an ecumenical council and then cemented at 381 at the Council of Constantinople. And as we say that this morning, I want us not just to say the words and get through it, but I want us to dwell on its nature as it explores Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as it relates to us, as it relates to our faith. This is why we begin each baptism with a reciting of the Creed, and why we recognize the true nature of the Trinity in our faith. So, my dear friends, with those centuries of history, and alongside millions of Christians the world over, let us stand and recite our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ.